Welcome, everyone, to the Pop Culture Podcast by Fantastic Geek. My name is Matt, and joining me, as always, is Pete. Hello, Pete.
Hello, Matt. Hello, everybody. We're here today to talk about the untimely death of Carrie Fisher and what she meant to us and her legacy as far as pop culture is concerned.
Yeah, it was something that we weren't sure if it was something that warranted a podcast. We certainly didn't want to be coming across as anything other than properly reflective. But I know we got a message, I think on Facebook, Pete, that said, "You know, are you guys going to talk about this? The Leonard Nimoy episode that you guys did after his passing meant so much." So I think it's in that spirit, Pete, where we're going to take a little time just to reflect.
It's funny that you mentioned Leonard Nimoy, and we had recorded that podcast shortly after he died. His death certainly a little bit more expected. I mean, Carrie Fisher has the heart attack on Friday. She dies on Tuesday. And there were false glimmers of hope in between that she might pull through, given some of the statements that her family had made. But personally speaking, when you talk about Leonard Nimoy, who meant a lot more to me as I grew older, somebody who, you know, still takes a lot of pride that he referred to his Twitter followers as surrogate grandchildren, and he was our surrogate grandfather. Princess Leia, that image of her in the white dress with the hood from the original Star Wars, that is among the very first memories I have of film. And I was really taken aback with how strongly I felt this once her death was announced on Tuesday. Matt and I had actually planned to get together, and I'm watching the coverage and I said, you know what, I just can't do the celebratory holiday type of thing today, given this. It's too much of a weight. And that was 4 days after she had fallen ill. So I don't think I'm alone in that. I think there are a lot of people who have reacted to the magnitude of her death.
Yeah, and I think given the resurgence that she had because of The Force Awakens, and given the opportunity that film takes to reflect on time passing, on passing the baton, on people growing older, on people, certainly in the movie, characters passing away, I think that has only served to make even more palatable and personal the loss of someone who ultimately, I guarantee, surely each and every listener did not have a personal connection to her. I mean, certainly not a two-sided one. I doubt that we have family and friends of her is listening. Certainly, we have listeners who have met her at conventions. We've seen her from afar at some conventions. And I don't mean to downplay the connection that so many of us had to her and to her public image and the sympathy that we have to the journey that she went through, the highs and lows of her life. But it's just, I don't know. It's been interesting experiencing all of these emotions, I think, as a community of people who have been affected by this loss.
We're recording this on Thursday evening, December 29th. She has been dead for a little over 48 hours. Really echoing, just increasing the gestalt with all of this is the fact that her mother died a little more than 24 hours after she did. Debbie Reynolds, Hollywood royalty in her own right, and her son telling the world that she wanted to be with Carrie. Just such sadness. And, you know, I hesitated to look at my phone when I got up this morning, this it's more than a meme at this point, Matt. You know, who has 2016 taken from us now? But this story, this is now an all-time Hollywood tragedy type of story of the death of this beloved actress who was popular in one specific role, and shortly followed by the death of her mother, who she at points in her life had a tumultuous relationship with. It's just, you know, from the family where we got Postcards from the Edge, this semi-autobiographical take on their interaction, look at the way their lives ended. You could not have written this.
There is just such a sad poignancy to it all, and I think that despite there being this this veneer of a Hollywood story to it and the multi-generational thing and all that, and what has, you know, has fame affected these people? Did it play a role in their end and all that? I think to me it just ultimately continues to just be this sympathetic and human story that has gone on here for the two of them. And I think that that's something, and I don't mean this to be disrespectful to their concerns, but I think it's something that is making the grief relatable and making this story kind of have that extra emotional punch, because despite we not knowing them as people, not knowing them personally, there still is this very human element to it that I think we can see ourselves in.
So I was coming out of Rogue One, a repeat viewing last night, and seeing it with a friend for the first time, and, you know, cover your ears if you haven't seen it, but, you know, the digital Carrie Fisher Princess Leia 1977 is the final frame, and she says hope, and I checked my phone, and I had known Debbie Reynolds had been taken to the hospital before I went in to see the movie, and there I read that she has died. And just the resonance of everything, you know, Fisher's sudden illness, her death, the death of Debbie Reynolds, the fact that Princess Leia is the final image in this massive hit right now. And then, Matt, that we are not done hearing and seeing Carrie Fisher on screen for the next little bit. You know, she has recorded at least two episodes of Family Guy, and she filmed all of her performance for Star Wars Episode 8, which is still scheduled to come out a year from now, although it remains to be seen what her untimely death is going to do both to that film and a film that she was expected to appear in Star Wars Episode 9.
I can only imagine that the blueprint that Lucasfilm, that Disney must follow here, there've got to be phone calls at this point to their counterparts at Universal, who had to deal with a similar issue when Paul Walker died in relation to the Fast and the Furious franchise. And what they figured out is that you can take the time to let the people who are most connected to this do what they need to do to process the real life loss. Then you come together creatively to figure out how does it affect the creative product, the financial product that you have, which you know, that's a crass discussion for the executives to have, say, this week, but that's a discussion that needs to be had in time. And ultimately, it's their responsibility to figure out how do you make it so that the fans can appreciate what still is yet to be seen. I dare say that a go-to digital double might not be the way to do it. I wouldn't be surprised if we get episode 8 delayed by 6 months, if only just so that they can figure things out. I wouldn't be surprised if there's the taking out of some footage of episode 8 of hers, put in, into episode 9, so that you can maintain a most authentic presence of her and kind of let that honesty carry through creatively, which hopefully will benefit the story in terms of a product, in terms of how it's consumed, that's consumed in the best in the best mindset. But certainly a lot of tough decisions for those people to be making in the coming weeks and months.
You bring up an interesting point, and it's not one as a solution that had occurred to me, that they would split what they had taken of her performance for this film amongst the two films. The solution, a poor choice of words for me, but that occurred to me was that they'll have to kill her off in this film. You've got nothing of her for the third film, but that's an interesting point that you bring up. She is rumored to have a far larger role in episode 8 than obviously she had in The Force Awakens. But as an ambassador for these films, and just the self-effacing way that she was able to move through celebrity, you know, you see the pictures of her with Gary the bulldog and the glitter in her hair and giving people the finger, and the way she was able in this ultimate last act of her career to just become okay with it all. And to, you know, there's that famous it's a story, if you will, you know, when she's told by George Lucas, you know, about not wearing the bra in the original Star Wars, that there's no underwear in space and everything like that. And there was an absurdity in the first act of her career with that, that she embraced by the end, and everything was just okay. And, you know, just speaking as a human, I hope that, because we know she never regained consciousness, she had this heart attack on the plane as it was making its final descent into Los Angeles, all the way from London, long flight. And, you know, just hope that at the end it was okay for her. And, you know, with her mother, I can't help but in Carrie Fisher's self-effacing way that they've met someplace now. And, you know, geez, Mom, I just died. You had to die right after me. You couldn't give me my moment. I can't help but think that an authentic Carrie Fisher wouldn't confront it in such a way. But, you know, I take a lot of comfort personally in that they're reunited.
Well, and you mentioned the story about the costuming on the first Star Wars movie. Certainly often retold in this past week as her second career as a script doctor in Hollywood, oftentimes uncredited. You know, somebody who's called in when a movie is in trouble to look at what the pieces are and to improve upon it. Certainly a situation that Star Wars, as a you know, forthcoming episodes 8 and 9, something they need to deal with. This story of her is about the underwear, though. I couldn't help but chuckle, A, on its own humorous front, and B, the fact that this vaunted script doctor was working on the ending of her own story, if you will. This quote, having been told, you know, that you can't wear a bra under the dress because there's no underwear in space. And she says that George Lucas said it with such conviction, like he had been to space and looked around and didn't see any bras or panties anywhere. He explained, Carrie Fisher goes on to say, you go into space and you become weightless, then your body expands, but your bra doesn't, so you get strangled by your own underwear. And Carrie Fisher concluding in this old tale, I think this would make for a fantastic obituary. I tell my younger friends that no matter how I go, I want it reported that I drowned in moonlight, strangled by my own bra. a funny story, obviously bittersweet in her passing, but also the script doctor helping write a better ending than could possibly be had in real life.
Yeah, and you talk about the script doctor aspect of her career, something that enabled her, when the parts slowed, to live comfortably. She lived next door to her mother in Beverly Hills as second generation Hollywood royalty. And, you know, you could argue at her height, a bigger star than her mother because of the popularity of Star Wars. But, you know, this is somebody who was specifically brought into a project like Sister Act, and all of the great Maggie Smith lines in that film come courtesy of Carrie Fisher. So she's somebody that obviously she struggled with fame. She struggled with substance abuse and dependency. We know that she suffered from bipolar disorder and became somebody that is a champion of mental health. And just that people can come back from what seems the darker aspects of those struggles. And she turned things around for herself through her ability, through her endurance. And that's why I think the quick ending like this is so difficult, because of somebody who had emerged at the other side. And obviously it was still a struggle. It's a struggle every day for, you know, a recovered addict, but, you know, to have her taken from us so quickly at a time where she was continuing to do work that people wanted. She had just, you know, come out with the Princess Diarist, book. She had made headlines about, you know, having had an affair with Harrison Ford on the set of the original Star Wars. And that's the real sizzle to that book, which is now, like anything Princess Leia, you know, vanishing from shelves. And, you know, I think about what she meant to me. This was the first actress I ever knew the name of. As a little boy obsessed with Star Wars and finding that out. You know, I would have a friend in grammar school named Carrie, spelled the same way. And I just thought that was the coolest thing, that she had the same name as the woman who played Princess Leia. I can't say I have ever felt the loss of a celebrity the way I have felt this one. We never met. You know, as Matt mentioned, I'd seen her a number of times at these conventions. You know, as with all things, there's a great Carrie Fisher story about that. She compared come over and get something signed at the little makeshift booth at a comic convention. She called it a lap dance, which I think is maybe the most apt way I've ever heard that. You know, I've paid for some autographs, you know, for other people. And then actually one time Matt sent me up to Christopher Lloyd and said that, hey, Pete, you're going to get an autograph from this guy. Why? Because I said so. Okay. And it can be awkward. It can be strange. And, you know, for Carrie Fisher to first off be so wonderful with fans, but at the same time to describe it that way. And, you know, she had a way of making mundane interviews, you know, meaningful and funny and irreverent and holding up the mirror to Hollywood and realizing what it is. And at the same time, realizing how lucky she was to have survived as long as she did. And, you know, now we're having to deal with the fallout of having her taken. I think 60 in 2016 is still too young.
Well, and you mentioned some of the public outpouring before, and I think that part of the takeaway from this is for we as a culture to not be afraid to share this as a culture. I don't think it's disrespectful to have these conversations because ultimately it's a very human conversation of reflecting on her life as somebody who needed to acclimate herself in the world she found herself in. It happened to be one of fame and, you know, born into a famous family and so forth, but she needed to accept her world as we all do. She grew into it. And then just the notion of loss, of passing away, that is ultimately such a human experience as well. So I don't think that there's any lack of respect in all of these discussions going on. And I would even say, if anything, it strengthens the bonds of humanity that we have between us. And certainly that's a legacy among many others that she's had.
And, you know, with that, Matt, I think we just reflect on the body of work and life that Carrie Fisher as a artist and a person left behind, and be grateful for what we had, and take some solace in the fact that there's going to be just a little bit more. How it plays out will be how it plays out, and we hope that the people who are involved in those discussions will make solid decisions. I know there's been some speculation, given the nature of her cameo, if you will, in Rogue One, that there could be some kind of digital performance. I really kind of hope they opt against that, because so much was made and she pushed back. And just another thing to love about Carrie Fisher, she pushed back last year when people would openly tweet at her about her appearance in The Force Awakens and debate whether she had aged well, and took it to them. Let's not debate whether I aged well. I aged, and that happens, and it's in your DNA, and there's nothing you can do about it. And, you know, that's not something I could have appreciated as a little boy seeing her in the movies, but that underlying spunk that she had as the character of Princess Leia. And, you know, one of the interviews, one of the many interviews that's been replayed in light of her passing, you know, she's asked, David Muir of ABC asked, you know, are you Princess Leia? Is Princess Leia Carrie? And, you know, she really came to a comfortable point in her life that, you know, they're the same. And I like to think that Carrie Fisher, you know, she became the character the same way the character was her. And the story of her life is over. The story of her character, which will, you know, be a footnote in her life, has yet to play out. And, you know, we will get to see that. I don't think it's going to make going to the movies a year from now easy, particularly in the way they choose to resolve it. But again, I take some comfort in that there's going to be a little bit more and maybe an opportunity to say goodbye.